Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine there was a leader of a country you didn't like or want leading the country. I know for some of you that's a real stretch of the imagination. The Caesars of Rome in Jesus' day were no bright moral examples of holy living. Even by today's secular standards, some emperors were disgustingly evil. Moreover, remember the political and theological landscape in Jesus' day. Certain Jews were zealous to regain full control of the land from Rome. In that context, the Pharisees, along with some Herodians, challenged Jesus. Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you are not about anyone's opinions, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Loaded question, but an easy one for Jesus. Aware of their malice and realizing this was a test, Jesus asked them to show him the coin for the tax. And they brought to him a denarius. Jesus said, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." So he said, "Therefore render to Caesar Caesar's things, render to God God's things." And when they heard it, they marveled and went away. Now here's the rest of the story. They were hoping that Jesus would say, holy people shouldn't pay taxes to unholy leaders. Then they would have had the grounds to arrest Jesus on the spot for insurrection. But Jesus never taught tax evasion. He realized that as human beings, we are under authorities that God has established here on earth. We owe honor to whom honor is due, taxes to whom taxes are due. It's part of our calling under the fourth commandment, which says, honor your father and your mother. In other words, honor God's representatives who serve you protection and peace and provision. Now, to be sure, Jesus knows that many, or maybe all, leaders are unholy. Some are evil and corrupt, yet so are the people who are underneath them. Only God is good. Only God is holy. So living faithfully in an unfaithful world means recognizing there will be unholiness in our leaders, in our government, in our police, in our military. Not all of them, of course. Yet, you honor them because God has established these offices for our benefit. So by honoring them, you honor God. By paying taxes to them, you are honoring and obeying God. Render to Caesar, Caesar's things, and to God, God's things. Fulfill your calling. What's interesting, however, is this idea of image and likeness, or image and inscription, here in the text. On the coin? On the coins for the tax were the images of Caesar, a god with a lowercase g, you might say, declared so by the Roman Senate. Yet we know that from the first commandment, and Jesus knew well, you shall have no other god. Nor are we to make a graven image of any god. Nor are we to serve both God and money, for we will compromise God's standards, and we'll seek to gain above all things the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. So when Jesus said, render to Caesar coins for his tax, as if he were saying, keep your filthy loot out of God's domain. For things of God are not taxes you owe, but maybe tithes that you make voluntarily out of love and obedience to God. to help advance God's kingdom of forgiveness and peace on earth. And certainly not just ties, but holy love and gentleness and patience and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control. God's images are all over these things. Finally, Christ, not a coin, has the image and likeness of God. We, by contrast, we had the image of God in the garden at the beginning. God created them male and female. He created them in His own image, it said. But we lost that. Adam and Eve sinned. They lost the image of God. That is the perfect image of God ethically before God. As we stand before Him, we're all lost. We no longer stand in His image. We're in the image of man, sinful man, created man. But Christ restored the image of God for man. He is the new Adam, if you will, in the incarnation. And winning that image for others by His all-sufficient death and resurrection. Colossians 1:15 says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. To believe in Jesus is not taxing, nor is it tax evading. It means living as a child of God with Christ's inscription on us from our baptism. There in baptism, God said, "You are mine. I put my image and likeness of Christ on you. Now render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Be that image of Christ that you are by wearing the image of a Christian. You know what Christian means? Little Christ. That's what you are in this world, a little Christ. Go help reconcile the world back to God by being patient, gracious, merciful, kind, loving, compassionate, forgiving, helping, healing. I'm pretty sure God's image is all over that. Remember what ways you walk, in the ways of Christ. We won't do it perfectly, and sometimes the way we walk, we wouldn't want God's image on us, would we? But that's His grace and His love to you. By baptism and by washing you in the Word, you wear His image no matter what. You keep coming back to be forgiven and reminded of who you are and where you come from and where you're going. To be with Him in His kingdom because you are a little Christ. And God raised Him from the dead. Such will He do for you, that you walk in His ways even now as a new Adam, a new man, day by day, walking in His image. You are His. Believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.